Boom, what's going on, guys? I just had a really exciting interview, and I'm definitely going to take this opportunity to tell you about it. I got a lot of value out of it, and I know that you will too, so I'm going to roll the intro, and I'll get right into it. I've spent the last 3 years learning from the most successful entrepreneurs on how they were able to create a breakthrough online startup. Now, as a student at Stanford University, I'm taking the plunge into the online startup world. The real question is, how will I do it while being a full-time student athlete at one of the most competitive institutions in the world? This podcast will give you the answer. Join me and follow along as I share mine and others' stories on how we are going against the status quo and building our own online startup empires. My name is Andrew Monroe, and this is Startup University. So I just interviewed David Sarnow. Now, if you guys don't know who David is, he is the founder of Business Nitrogen, which is a company that helps businesses pretty much make that transition online, and it helps them monetize their business. So he'll take a deep dive into what you're doing at the moment, you know, what your costs are, what your numbers are, what your cost per click, your lifetime value of your customer, you know, how much you're spending on ads, and he'll figure out how to cut off expenses. He will essentially make your business as profitable as it can be, along with helping you become an online business. So this man is crazy successful, and he's also been in the game for a long time. He's been in the business game for over 30 plus years. He started out in the corporate role. He was an entrepreneur, as he said. He started out, he was in this company, and he started a new division of the company. And at the time, the company was like a 50-year-old company that was doing like, I think, $50 million a year. And David started a new division in the company that also made $50 million a year. So he doubled the entire company's profits, created the most profitable division of the company. And then he took the dive in entrepreneurship, started a franchise company where he raised capital, and then eventually landed at Business Nitrogen, where he is now killing it. He's won, I think, 6 2 Comma Club Awards and 1 2 Comma Club X Awards. So the 6 2 Comma Club Awards means he's made $1 million in a funnel in a single year. And then the 2 Comma Club X is $10 million in a year, well, 8 figures, so it could be more than $10 million, but he's made 8 figures in a single year. So, man, I learned so much from David. The guy was super cool. It's awesome to have that connection now. He's a really nice guy. He's super energetic, and he has a lot of good things to say. Some of the main lessons I learned from talking to David, one of them was you should not try to apply someone else's situation to your life. You know, things are always different. I asked him a question about if he would prefer, if someone were to ask him how to start a business, if he would have them go down the venture capital route or go down the, you know, lean startup with like no capital, you know, the Russell Brunson method where you don't need capital to start up. And he said that he doesn't have an answer for that because everybody else's situation is different. And I even asked him about, you know, how do you build a recession-proof business that can survive things like the coronavirus and, you know, the recession that we're in right now. And even then, he said, you know, I don't have an answer. You just got to be able to pivot. You've got to be able to, you know, adapt and change to the economy and what's happening. And that's that. I mean, that's kind of what I was just watching this documentary on TV about Carnegie. I can't remember his first name, but the steel manufacturer of post-Civil War era, how him and Rockefeller, I just know the last names for some reason, but Carnegie and Rockefeller were rivals. Rockefeller was oil and Carnegie was steel. And when the railroads collapsed, you know, and America went into the first great recession, the first great depression as well, Carnegie had made the decision to transfer over into manufacturing buildings instead of just focusing on railroads because, you know, his rivalry for Rockefeller was so strong that he wanted to stop at nothing to be the most powerful man in America. So he was able to pivot and adapt, and he transitioned from railroads to manufacturing buildings right before the United States started like expanding and building vertically instead of horizontally. You know, Chicago and New York started to build up, you know, skyscrapers, big buildings. That's when Carnegie made the transition. So everybody who was making those buildings would reach out to Carnegie to get his steel. And that just boosted. I'm pretty sure it said he tripled revenue in like 2 or 3 years based off of that decision. And that just goes to show that, you know, there's no answer on how to create a recession-proof business, you know. There's businesses that are doing great right now, and there's businesses that are doing terrible. It tends to be that businesses online are doing better, which, he also mentioned that that is probably one of the best answers you could give someone, is like, if your business is online, it won't be affected as much by recessions like this, and especially pandemics, which, you know, it varies, because, you know, like marketing agencies, for example, all of their clients are usually businesses, sometimes brick and mortar businesses. So even though like the marketing agency can still fully act and have its doors open, its clients might always not be able to. And that's what David mentioned, is that he lost 40% of his revenue in the first month of the coronavirus. He's bounced back now and he's doing better than ever, but he said it was hard at first, and that's the case for a lot of businesses. But it seems like the transition online is one of the best ways to create a business that can endure, you know, peaks and troughs. And he actually made a really interesting point during the interview that I've been thinking about a lot. And that is where we are right now in history. You could look at it right now is how you could look in 30 years, people are going to look at right now as the same way that we do when we look back on the Industrial Revolution, you know, moving everything from farming and agriculture to, you know, industrialized factories and manufacturing within big giant warehouses and assembly lines, all that. That was a big transition, and we study that in history. And there's going to be a point where we study the transition from, you know, business to business sales, face to face sales, door to door sales, to online marketing, on digital marketing, digital businesses, you know, no longer having that personal connection with the people that you're doing business with, which I see benefits in both. I think face-to-face business is it's a good method. That's what I tried for my marketing agency for a while. And, you know, even though I didn't get a lot of clients, I got a lot of good feedback. A lot of people said that they respected me walking in there and shaking their hand and looking them in the eye. They said that that doesn't happen very often, and that they could tell that I was going to be successful based off of that attribute, which it was nice to hear that. But also, just if your business is online, I guarantee within 10 years it will not be here. With the exception to, you know, the occasional small town mom and pop shops that have just built up like a cult following within the city. Like my girlfriend's dad, for example, he runs a cabinet shop, and, you know, he's not online, but he has a lot of clients that he's done work for the last like 20, 30 years. So at least for the next couple, you know, 10, 20 years, he's fine in regards to that. But there's businesses that are, you know, like pawn shops, the malls, like Walmart. You know, Walmart's doing actually a pretty good job at transitioning online, but a lot of the brick and mortar stores that have not made that transition online are going to struggle in the future, because, you know, it's way more convenient. Like in this, during the coronavirus, you've seen Amazon has been one of the only companies, like Amazon and Walmart, I can't remember the other ones, all the like DoorDash, all like the, I just interviewed the founder of one of the like the quick shopping businesses where they deliver groceries to your house. I just interviewed the founder of the UK version of that, and those businesses are killing it right now because they're all online and it's convenient for the situation. It's convenient before this happened, but it's even more convenient now. You know, like people could go out to Walmart, they could go out to the mall and shop before the coronavirus, but now they can't, so they have to shop on Amazon. And that's why Jeff Bezos has gotten so much more rich since the coronavirus. Like, I think his net worth increased by like $40 billion since the coronavirus, which some people think is like, oh, that's evil, he's stealing money from everybody, you know, everyone's unemployed. But I think it's amazing, you know? That's why I love capitalism, is because, like, people who are smart benefit off of it. Like, that's no one else's money except his, and he deserves it. Like, he's created such a lucrative business model that nothing can take it down. Like, there's never going to be another Amazon, at least for the next, like, 50 to 100 years. No one can do what he does. Like, it's just the most convenient business model. You know, you can buy anything online and have it shipped directly to your house. So that was one of the big lessons I learned from David. I also just learned kind of the idea of hard work, you know, like the principle of just working hard. You know, David worked super hard at everything he did. Whenever he was working in the corporate world or in his franchise startup or his digital online startup, like he would just hustle and grind. And it was just so inspirational to hear his story. And like the whole time he had his two Comic Club Awards and his two Comic Club X Awards in the background. And it was just like, damn, like that's, I want that one day. And I know I'm going to get it one day. And whatever you guys want, you're going to get it too. And I'm just super blessed to have the opportunity to connect with these amazing entrepreneurs. You know, I've interviewed, I think, 15 to 20 millionaires in the last month. And I've learned so much. And I've made so many cool connections just to like talk to these guys and, you know, learn from them. And, you know, it's not face to face because we're over Zoom, but like, it's about as close as you can get right now. And it's just super special. And I know I'm going to value this forever. And I'm trying my hardest to get these resources out to you guys. I'm going to start clipping these interviews and posting like little mini segments on the podcast and the Instagram channel so that you guys can have a way to see these. I would just get inside of the Breakthrough Online Startup interview series. It's a very, very awesome, reliable resource to just learn from entrepreneurs who have already done what you're trying to do. They've already broken through. They've created a business that has longevity, and now they're just, I interview them on how they did it and how they're going to maintain it. And there's so much cool advice and tips and frameworks inside of there. So I highly recommend that you go to www.breakthroughstartup.com and get in that Legends Vault weekly entrepreneurial interviews. It's crazy. David's interview is going to be going up in there. So yeah, hopefully I see you guys in there. And if not, I will talk to you tomorrow. Like always, go follow me at Andrew Monroe, or that's my personal one. Go follow me at Andrew G. Monroe. That's my business profile on Instagram. Feel free to reach out to me by email at andrewmonroehq@gmail.com. Yeah, thank you guys for so much for listening, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Peace.